Today's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. My name's Etienne, and kids. Great to have you with us. I just want to invite you. You are welcome. If you want to draw something, you're welcome to, if you haven't already, grab either in the back or in the front here. There are some pencils, clipboards, and paper. And maybe a challenge for you, if I can roll one out, adults too, if you're a drawer. Comic strips. I don't know if you know comic strips, but If one of you can design me a comic strip of two people where one person is trying to tell the other person about God, that God loves them, that God cares for them. So that's sort of the sort of thing we're going to be talking about today. So if you can try and comic strip that for me in a conversation or a dialogue, if you want, have a go. today, like Mike said, we are in the next part of a series that we call Organic Outreach. Organic Outreach is a series where we are talking about what does it look like for Christians, if you're a Christian, to talk about somebody else who doesn't know God, about him. Right? How do we do this? We believe that all Christians are called to do this, but what does it look like? How do we do that? You might be here today and you're not a Christian. And you go, you're quite suspicious of all this stuff that you're hearing, because you go, oh, well, this is sort of the inside scoop. You know, this is how their marketing technique that's out to sort of get me. that's truly not what this is about. But I do recognize that if you're not a Christian and you're dialing in and you're tuning in on this series, you might go, well, this is a little bit awkward. People talking about you and you're sort of sitting in the midst and you go, well, I'm right here. I want you to tune in on this, because I do think that this is a sense in which I hope you, behind what is said in this series, can also form a picture of who God is. That there is a God. He's made you. He loves you. And in his love for you, he has created an entire army of people whose life's purpose, really among many other things or some other important things, is to love you, is to show you that you are loved. You're loved by the one who made you. You're loved by the one who came to you in his Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life for the forgiveness of your sins. That if you believe in him, you become a total new creation. A person who knows God, who's in a relationship with God, and God comes and he lives in you and he shows you who he is, he fills you, he makes everything that you at a very deep level as a human being need come true. Okay? That's what we want out of this series. We want people to know the love of God and love him in return. So far in the series, we spoke, these are our key words. First key word on day one was love. If Christians are going to be effective at telling others about who God is, we've got to love people. It's about loving people. If our motive is not love, we shouldn't be talking about God at all. Right? Number two, prayer. We want to pray for people. We're not praying for people who don't know God, we shouldn't be trying to reach them. Number three, Andy last week talked to us about, I think, lifestyle. If we're really going to love people well with the love of God, our lives will have to accommodate that. That might mean that we need to think about priorities, values, how we spend our time, allow time, budget time, create time in your life for spending time with people who do not know God. That's part of the deal, right? Today and next week, we're going to talk about the next key word, which is words. At some point, we've entered a relationship, spending time with someone for whom we've prayed and whom we deeply love. The opportunities will come that we want to talk. We want to talk about God. We want to have spiritual conversations with people. We want to, the jargon or the religious word here might be witness or evangelize, but really what it is, talking. We want to be talking about God. We want to have spiritual conversations with people. It's not me. And I don't know how that sits with you. If you're a Christian, how do you feel about having spiritual conversations with other people? How do you feel about talking about God with other people, particularly people who don't know him? The Bible verse we read today tells Christians, always be prepared to, whoops, thanks Evan, give a reason for the hope that you have, always. Always be prepared. Always welcome. Look for. Appreciate. With a sense of preparation, the ability to talk. Talk to someone about, I'm going to say spiritual conversations. Maybe that's the best term to work with. To have a spiritual conversation with someone. But I wonder, if you are trying to picture what does this look like, what sort of images come to mind? Just think for me for a sec. What does it look like? What would be the scenario or the context in which you might give a reason for the hope that you have? Or to have a spiritual conversation? You know, so often for many of us, I don't know what comes to mind, but I think we have very unhealthy expectations or definitions of what this might look like in your life. Maybe it's sort of a courtroom setting where you're bailed up or someone's arguing with you and you need to sort of defend your faith. Maybe it's debates, you know. Maybe it's, always things that fill Christians with stress or nerves because I need to have a spiritual conversation and I'm really freaked out about it. I want to talk to you today about that. I want to talk to you about five things today that I think are sort of things that we want to be true if we're going to talk about God to someone. Five things that would should de-stress, de-nerve, de-everything that is bad about this, right? Five things. Number one, if we are going to be effectively talking about God, our conversation should be organic. The series is called Organic Outreach. I'm going to show you a little video now. Forgive me if it's a little facetious. Forgive me if it's a little it's satire. But just have a look for me and look in the video for me, or in the back of your mind, with the word organic. All right? So let's roll. Thanks.
Evangelism in this day and age can be really tough, but there are still ways that you can save the lost. Let me show you how.
For really effective evangelism, you have to make the most of every opportunity. This woman is reading the book Contact. Watch what I do now. So, reading Contact. Did you know God wants to make contact with you? And he did that by sending his son, Jesus, to die for you, for your sins. Have you repented of your sins? know.
Apartments make door-knock evangelism really difficult these days, but I've solved the problem.
Hello?
Jesus loves you!
This one I call covert prayer. High five? No? God bless you.
Social media is where people share their true feelings. It's also where they can meet their true saviour. Here's one now.
In evangelism, never underestimate the power of the word.
Jesus loves you!
Well, there you go, guys. Follow my lead, and in no time, the world will be saved.
If you're not a Christian in the room today, I mean, think for yourself. You can even put your hand up. I don't mind. How many times has this sort of thing happened to you? Yeah, it probably has. Right? And it's not helpful. If you're a Christian, how many times have you refrained from talking to someone about God because you think, as it's been modeled to you by others, this is sort of how you talk about God to others? It's really not. It's unhelpful. The point is simply this is inorganic. This is not how we effectively share the love of God for people. Question that you might get asked at work is, what did you do on Sunday? Your answer may well be, and this is a better approach to the video, the alternative is, look, I went to church on Sunday. I went out afterwards and hung out with the family. Maybe a person then sort of gives you a bit of silence, a bit of body language, clearly not interested. And then just move the conversation. What did you do on the weekend? Oh, I watched the footy. And let's talk about the footy. Great, that's fine. Right? Alternative to that conversation might be, what did you do on the weekend? I went to church. Oh, cool. Why do you go to church? Well, I want to grow my understanding of who God is, what he's like, and I kind of do it with other people. Oh, well, do you go every week? And you know what I mean? Those are sort of ways in which we can just gauge how to have a conversation that is a conversation. It flows naturally, organically, and we got to grow, Christians do anyway, in their ability to have these natural, normal conversations. Number one, it needs to be organic. Number two, spiritual conversations. This is a very, very interesting one. Happens at many levels. Okay? Say that again. Spiritual conversations happen at many levels. Some years ago, James Engle and Wilbert Norton developed a scale, a spectrum of places where any person may be at in their relationship with God. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not like a checkbox in how you become a Christian type thing, follow all the steps, and these things don't always happen, they don't always happen in this order. But every single person you meet and know in your life is in a certain place with their relationship with God. And Engels and Norton gave us this scale, which I'll briefly take you through. You know, you got your axes. Which one's X and Y, the maths people? What's this one? Yeah, open, close. Which one's vertical? This is the vertical. Okay, this is the... Okay, right. So, yeah, I don't do maths. You know, down the bottom here, we got a person who has no knowledge of God at all. And it's increasing the amount of people in Australia who has never heard of Jesus. Never heard the word. Never heard the name. Right? So it's becoming a thing in Australia. Up at the top, you get someone, look, who's been a Christian a long time, knows God really well, is very spiritually aware. Up the left, you got someone who's really closed. I don't want to talk about spiritual stuff. I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to talk about religion. I don't want to talk about church. Very, very, very touchy. Right? On the far end, on the horizontal line, you go, yeah, man, I love to talk about spiritual stuff. And any person you meet, and every person you know, and even think about yourself today, is somewhere on this sort of, somewhere on this spectrum, right? We all have a line in which when we grew in coming to know who God is, we may have moved from no awareness to we're aware of God. We are sort of aware of the gospel, of the story of Jesus, death and resurrection. That increased to basics of the gospel, then the implications of the gospel. Okay, what does it mean? If this is true, what does it mean for me? How does it change my life? You know, move up to going, okay, there's a lot of problems in my life that I know God wants to work on and change. Then I go, I'm going to fully turn and put my faith in Christ. Once you've done, a person has done that, they might go, oh, I'm not really sure, post-decision, did I do the right thing? Is this really real? Am I crazy? This is nuts. I shouldn't, you know, you just second guess. Eventually, you know, you become part of a church, a body of believers, a member, and you're enfolded into that. And eventually, you really just start to go massive life change and leading others through that. So those are sort of the things, the types of things that's involved in a person who has had nothing to do with God or church, between when that can begin to when it's completed. The point of this spectrum is not to have this memorized. It's not that you need to know everything about this if you're going to be an effective, effective at organic outreach. But the point is that we need to be somewhat aware that any person we know or talk to or love are in a variety of different places in their understanding of God. Too often, Christians operate on the basis that all people who don't believe in Jesus are the same. Right? Which means that too often we have totally the wrong conversation with the person who we're praying for or loving. Think about it. You will not be too nervous or freaked out about suggesting to read the Bible with a person whom you know is very open about spiritual stuff. You know, has an awareness of kind of who God is and grew up a little bit in Sunday school. And because, you know, we've done the other things in the series already, we love them. We spend time with them. We're praying for them. And we know they're open. We reach the point where we go, you know what? Why don't we just read the Bible together? That is just dead easy. But you should be a little bit nervous and unsure about suggesting to the guy who you know is right down here to say, you should go to church. Particularly if it's a guy who's really grumpy at work and mistreating you and really the bully, because that's all you see of him and you go in a fight. It's because you don't go to church. You should go to church. You know, what might be better if you could be bothered to investigate a little is to find out that this person's wife has cancer. And you're better off saying to that person, can I look after your children while your wife goes for treatment? I don't want to talk about God, church. Because he's not there. Right? Again, if you're a non-Christian in the room, you may know firsthand. Or if you become a Christian later in life from outside church world, often there's failure on the part of Christians to truly understand where you're at. And it is, I believe, on God's heart, God's wisdom to love people where they're at first. It's how Jesus works with us. It's how we ought to work with those whom he loves. We love them sensitively. And we can do so, again, because of the other things. We've gotten to know people. We love them. We pray for them. We spend time with them. It's not that hard to figure out where they're at. So that's number two. Number one was organic. Number two, many levels, figuring out or trying to discern where a person's at. Number three, spiritual conversations includes talking about your pain and brokenness. If you want to talk to other people about God spiritually, you're going to have to be prepared to talk about your own pain, your own brokenness. You know, so often it's assumed that Christians are people who've got it all together. It's all good. It's all right. There's no problems. And Christians think that they can't talk about God with anybody else unless they only ever share stuff that is good and right and perfect. That's the only stuff you're allowed to talk about when you're witnessing to somebody else. I want to read to you a bit from the Organic Outreach book. This is sort of what we base this series on. Karen goes to a woman named Cindy to have her nails done. She'd been praying for God to open the door for a spiritual conversation, but Cindy has been fairly resistant, tending to shut down when spiritual topics came up. One day, Karen was heading in to have her nails done, but was unsure whether she should even go. Her daughter had battled a life-threatening illness for over two decades, and she had just received some difficult news from the doctors. Since she was feeling weak and discouraged, Karen didn't want to show her true self to Cindy. She was afraid that Cindy would see her weakness and be turned off to the Christian faith. Despite her concern, Karen decided she could put on a bold outer appearance and make it through the appointment without breaking down. But when Karen sat down to have her nails done, Cindy innocently asked, "How are you going?" That was all it took. The floodgates broke. Karen's pain and struggle came pouring out. She wept, ended up telling Cindy all about her journey with her daughter, whom she loved so much. But here's the amazing thing. As Karen told her story, her faith came through organically. She talked about how she never could have made it through all the years and the tests and the uncertainty without the hope and the comfort that Jesus gave. Karen and Cindy's friendship moved to a whole new level as Cindy was able to care for Karen. It also deepened because the two women were able to have a significant spiritual conversation that included the topics of pain, struggle, God's sustaining power, the grace of Jesus in hard times. Karen didn't plot out the conversation. It came naturally as she was real about her struggles and her faith in Christ. At some point in her life, Karen had bought into the lie that she always had to appear as though she had it all together. The reality is that spiritual seekers will never listen to anyone who put on a facade and present themselves as perfect people, untouched by the pain and brokenness in this world. Even this morning, in this place, where it's so easy to think that everybody else here has it good, we buy into the lie. We buy into the lie that for true Christians, there's no pain, brokenness, hurt, struggling, or suffering. Untrue. Untrue. We all here are broken. We all here have something to share about that. And we all here will benefit if, when we do, when we talk about God. Okay? Should be organic. Spiritual conversations happens at many different levels. It includes talking about pain, brokenness, uncertainty, pain and brokenness. Number four, second last one. If you're going to have a spiritual conversation with someone, talk about God, it includes sharing about stuff that you're not sure about. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus heals a blind man, and for the sake of simplicity, there's some bad guys who hate Jesus. They think he's a sinner, he's doing the wrong stuff. And it was wrong for him to restore the sight of this blind man. They think it's weird, but they kind of did. And they haul this man who was blind and who got his sight back in front of them. And they say to him, give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man is a sinner. This man, Jesus, who healed you. We know, they say, he is a sinner. And then this blind man who received his sight gives this remarkable response. He replied, I think I have it there. Verse 25. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. I don't really know how God made the universe and us and how the dinosaurs fit in. But I know that in my faith in God, I found a value and a purpose in a life that gives me deep, deep meaning from knowing that there is someone behind all this. Right? I don't know why the cancer took him. And I still cry and even get angry over it very often. But I do know the alternative of not having hope in a good God who does know and who will meet me in my grief and who will raise me on the other end makes me better off. Here's what I don't know and here's what I do know, right? We share that. I don't know how often we sort of feel, I think, now, I can't talk about God because I can't explain all the details that a non-Christian or someone who's antagonistic might have of me, which mostly people don't, unless it's the person in the bottom left corner, but most people are not there. And you don't need to know everything to talk about God, right? Number five, and then we'll finish off. Spiritual conversations include asking questions and listening. More often than not, if you want to talk to someone about God, it's not really you talking, it's you listening. Asking. What is going well in your life right now? What do you enjoy? What is difficult? What's your history with religion, with church, being part of your family? What do you believe about God? What are your thoughts about Christians? Don't become defensive. Don't even feel the need to answer. Just listen. Just hear. If organically you can talk further, explore any of that, fine. But if not, just listen. Right? Let me finish. Friends, we can alter our expectations of what it looks like to talk about God, we will most likely find that it is really, really not that hard. I want to finish by, I think, sharing a bit of my own life testimony. Let's model what we said. I don't know, pain, brokenness. This is probably more stupidity and immaturity than pain or brokenness. But you know what? I'm about to turn 40 next year and my life is over. It is done. I think I really, as far as my Christian life, have only entered into this whole talking about God to people who are not Christians for the last 8 of my 40 years. Maybe 10. But I remember being about 30 years old, and I was already a pastor by then in full-time ministry and that sort of stuff. And this is shortly before we moved to Tasmania, actually. And I developed a real, a real fear that, a dread that even as a pastor of a church, I may well go through my entire life and I've not talked to someone about Jesus, let alone baptize someone into the name of Jesus. It wasn't a sort of selfish, shoulder-chipping thing that I felt I needed to achieve, but I looked in the Word of God and became restless and convicted that this is a big part of my Christian life that's missing, entirely missing for me, entirely absent, and has been for a long time, even as a pastor of a church, entirely missing, right? What's more is that I thought, okay, I'm going to start praying. A bit of the organic outreach thing that we've said, the beginning point is to just simply begin there. Begin praying. God, I actually want to enter this part of my Christian life. Can you do in me what needs to be done? That's basically all I did. And long story short, a love for talking to people about God started to grow. I started to push myself to do it and make time and pray for people and all the stuff we spoke about so far. And here's the surprising thing that I found, and this is where I want to land it. I was really surprised to find that talking about God to people who do not know Him, far from being scary, became the most joyful thing. The most joyful thing I could ever have imagined. I up to this point did it because I felt I had to. You know, my answer for it as a pastor was to teach religious education in a state school, and I hated it. And the students hated it, and the teacher hated it, and it was just poor. Right? But little did I expect that if God would make good on His promise to change me for the sake of one of these core purposes in my life that He wants, I would find such joy in it. Joy. And I reflected on the biblical stories of if you know the Bible well enough, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. You know, where the lady who finds her coin back, the shepherd who finds his sheep back, the father who finds his son back. What is the end result each time for them? Joy. They are exuberant. In the case of the lost son, it's not just the person who found or was lost that is joyful. It's also the lost person that returned them or found. My point is, with this whole thing of outreach and evangelism for me, what drives us? Joy. It's joy. There's very little about fear or dread or any of that sort of stuff. Hardships, difficulty, a little bit of change, all that kind of stuff. But joy, joy, joy is where it's at. So, friends, can I take us there again? That we consider Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Came for us. Came for you. May we too, for the joy set before us, consider those whom God would lead us to. Love them, pray for them, make time for them, and in God's good wisdom, speak about God to them. Please pray with me. Father, You are so worth speaking about. And I pray yet again, as we have prayed in this series, that You would up the love in each child of Yours here. Just one more degree, one more notch, that we would truly tick with love for you, love for those to whom you want to show yourself. Father, I pray that you'd give us experiences, new perhaps, new depths or new widths, and what it means to talk about you in a way that is joyful, a way that we want, a way that we look forward to. And then, Father, I pray for the brother, the sister here today who does not know you, but is here. The reason I may not know. But I pray today that you, Lord Jesus, who are here, will also speak to him or to her. Where healing is needed, will you heal? Where hope is needed, will you bring it? Where power is needed, will you provide it? Where comfort is needed, will you grant it? We ask and we pray this in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, music team.